about to hear a life-changing message preached at Revival International Memphis by the Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay.
In John 14, verse 21a, Amplified Version, the Bible says, "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me." In this powerful Palm Sunday message, Reverend Lindsay preaches the word, "If you love God, you will obey Him." God tells us how He would like to be loved. The sign that you love God is when you follow Him and obey Him wholeheartedly. So let's listen into this anointed word and show our love to our God by doing what He commands. Be blessed.
Father, we bless your name. We know that you are the way. You are the truth. And you are the life. No man cometh to the Father except by you. We believe it. That's why we're here. We will follow you till we die. Till the day you call us to the mansions. Jesus, express yourself to us deeply. Feel free by your anointing. Holy Spirit, teach us to walk in the light of your word. We bless your name. We thank you. We give you glory. Holy Spirit, thank you for being the helper. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together. Turn to three people and smile and tell them, "You're welcome, you're welcome. I'm happy to see you." Tell them, "I'm happy to see you." And tell them, "I hope you're happy to see me too." Amen. Tell them today you are going to be blessed. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, you may please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. Please. But for Palm Sunday. Beautiful. All right. Well, today is Palm Sunday. Somebody say Palm Sunday. It's also called Hosanna Sunday. You know, as Jesus was traveling, today is the day that Jesus made the decision to die. He said, "I know, I've known it as a commandment, as the what I came to the world to do. But today I'm making a decision to go happily." So he went to Jerusalem riding on colts or donkey, and they raised palm trees and shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest," as they were hailing him. And then he walked his way to death in Jerusalem, celebrating. People put their cloth down. He walked, the donkey rode on it. You know, anything that you do that is a sacrifice, do it cheerfully. You're going to do it anyway. Live your Christian life cheerfully. Amen. Live your Christian life cheerfully. Cheerfully. Bible says, rejoice. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. "Finally, brethren, I say, rejoice." Jesus rejoiced his way to the cross, to the death. But some of us, even coming to church, we grumble our way to church. Amen. Tell somebody, rejoice. And then Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Someone say, "Always." And it didn't end there. He said, "Again, I say, rejoice." As if it's not enough, he says, "Rejoice always. This is the day that the Lord has made. Yours is to rejoice and be glad in it." Tell somebody, "Rejoice, rejoice." Tell someone, "Let me see a smile." You know, for example, when the preaching is going on, some of you, your faces are morose and as if you are depressed, and they've been baptized in orange juice, in lemon juice. Lemon juice. I mean, when I look at some of your faces, you know somebody who's baptized in lemon juice? Lemon juice, even when you are not baptized, it's just baptizing your tongue.
Oof.
But when you're baptized in lemon juice, and it's like you can't express yourself, that leads to depression. That leads to high blood pressure. Tell somebody, relax, relax, relax. Take it easy. Rejoice. Tell somebody, chill. It's not that bad. It ain't that bad. And tell that person, I say, rejoice. When I preach a message, you should be able to say hallelujah. You should be able to clap. You should be able to stand up and jump. Be able to say, preach. But this old manism type of, as if you are in a law court. Tell us, no. Not again. Tell us, I'm not again. So today I'm going to see how you react towards the preaching. Amen. Today we're going to continue our series of messages on loving God. Loving God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 40. Okay. Start from verse 38. Go to 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the great commandment? Okay, then keep going. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Do you know that this, when you've done this, you've done the great commandment? Then Jesus said, keep going, the next verse. This is the first and the great commandment. You've done the first and you've done the great. You've given priority to what you need to give priority. If you didn't do anything in this Christian walk at all, you didn't become a preacher, anything. You just loved God consistently. You will be one of the best Christians in the whole world. Yeah. If you didn't do anything, you didn't build a church, you just loved God consistently. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you would have done the most important thing in life. The first and the great. Then he said in the next verse, the second is also like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So two things that if you do, you would be a mega. If you can love your neighbor, love God and love your neighbor, believe me, you'll be one of the most likable, the highest quality human beings you will ever find. The highest quality. Somebody that you can experience love. Not only do they love you, they love God. And Bible says that, not only that, he confirms it by saying in verse 40, that upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Anything, any law or any prophecy, anything in the Bible is founded on these two commandments. In other words, if you didn't even read the Bible ever to know the laws, but everything that you did was an expression of love for God and love for people, you'll be one of the best Christians. Clap for the Lord Jesus. But people, they love themselves and they love things, not God and not people. And we have learned that, you know, love is not, you know, when these two people say, I love you, you know, like I tell Ufambi, I love you. Ufambi say, boy, before somebody says something, that's okay, God forbid. I say, mommy, I love you. I tell mommy, I love you. Do you know? And because of that, I just bring mommy a microphone. I bought a microphone for mommy. And we were like, please bring her some two microphones as an expression of my love. Bring two microphones. Yeah. And bring the sanitizer. And bring the flag. Yeah, the flag. Uh-huh. And bring one of the symbols. Uh-huh. Bring some things. And bring a speaker. Yeah. Bring a speaker. Yeah. Bring some male shoes. Male shoes. Uh-huh. Yeah, is it male shoes? All this is to show that I love mommy. Mommy, how do you feel? Do you feel I love you? I mean, this is my show. You really must. I want you to feel that I love you. Look at this. Feel that. And these are the things I brought. What's your response? Sincerely, do you feel loved or not? I can't hear you.
No.
What do you mean? Have I not tried?
You've tried.
But what?
But these are not things that I would like are relevant to me.
Like seriously? I tried. Okay, give that too. Yeah. This is very precious to me, eh? But I want you to, this is a big one. Put it behind her. This is Miss Revival. Miss Revival. Put it at the side. This is Miss. Everybody must realize here that this Miss Revival. But she still doesn't feel loved. I mean, miss the whole revival. So what will, why? If I love you, what would you want me to do?
Give me something that I'll...
What? Like what? Say one thing that if I love you, I can give you.
A car.
A car. Wow. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You will get a car. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Now, I gave her an Android phone. What did you tell me? And when I gave you finally, she said, told me she wants an. Okay, what did you say?
When you gave me that, I said, I don't prefer this one. But I would like an iPhone.
And then, when it was Christmas, gifts, what did I get you?
iPhone.
There was so much happiness in the house. So much happiness. When you want to love somebody, you have to ask the person what will make the person feel loved. And when the person says, this is what shows that you love me, accept it. Don't impose what you think is love on the person. God has a way, has things. Yeah, you can take it. Oh, that's Miss. It's okay. Miss Reva. If it's affecting your position, change your position. There are chairs there. Miss Revival will not change. You can change your position. Yeah. Now, you can change your position. You can come to the front. You can have a seat in front. Be happy. Yeah, come. Just change your style. Now. Oh, you want to take it away? Okay, take it away. Now, listen carefully. This is very serious, what I'm telling you. So God has ways of expressing, telling us what you do that will make him laugh. True. God has a way. I wanted to buy a car for my wife. Set flowers. To me, it was cheap and it will last only 1 week. But to her, it was everything. I had never given flowers before. Where I came from, they don't give flowers. I mean, when people die and people bring flowers, I said, what are they doing? Has anybody, okay, where I come from, when people die, they bring you money. Yes. To help with the funeral costs. But in America, there's life insurance. When somebody dies, they're coming to show love. They bring flowers. You bring flowers, I'll just throw them away. It's a cultural thing or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But once I am here, if one day killer tells me an auntie or grandparent has died, I have to learn to show love to Kayla and bring some beautiful flowers to show that I care. Yeah. Because that's what to her is love. What are the things that if you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, what are the things you must do? And we learned, number one, that you should what? If you love the Lord, do what? You should love his word. We learned yesterday, last week, that you should love his messengers. We learned a couple of weeks later that you should love the brethren. You should love people, his brethren. Because God says that if you say you love God whom you haven't seen, when you cannot love your brother that you see, how say you that you have the love of God? In other words, you want to love God, show it by loving others, especially the people of the household of faith. So all of you quarrel in church, there's no love of God in you. I'll say it again. When you come to a church that loves God, one of the things you feel is they love you. I'll say it again. And when our church is said, these people, they love God, they must feel it by the love we love other people. When they come, how we treat them, how we give them seats in front, how we have refreshments after church, how we call them, how when they have issues, we help them out. True. So I like to chat with people, to hug people, to find out how people are doing, to call people. I like to do that. It's not just calling on God. Prayer, 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 prayer. I pray for you, but I'd never call you. No. Where is the love? I must pray for you, but I must show tangible love for you as well. Clap for the Lord Jesus. We also learn that if you love the Lord, feed my sheep. It means become a shepherd, become a teacher, become a preacher. Share the word of God. John chapter 21, verse 15. And Jesus brought them. John chapter, 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said, if you love me, then what? Feed my lambs. That's why this morning we thank God that God has given us a pastor who feeds us. It's love. Love for Jesus. So you will see that when people start loving God in the church, one of the things that you will see is that they will start becoming shepherds. Octavia. Brother. How are you? You're blessed. Say I'm blessed. Now, seriously. If you love God, you will never settle down and just be satisfied in you becoming a Christian and not sharing your Christianity with others. You will feed the flock of God. You will be a reason why somebody else becomes a Christian. All of you. Now, if you love me, feed my flock. It also means that be the reason why somebody becomes a Christian. Somebody gets to know God. Let me ask you here. How many of you this year you have invited somebody to church? You put your hand down. How many of you this year you are the reason why somebody is sitting here now? There are a few. I'm telling you. Many people, Bible says, in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. You come into church, for example, you are in a nice Mercedes Benz SUV with your family and you. You look good. You are a lover of self. Yeah. True. I mean, you are not the reason why. And when it's a center meeting, you are not even the one teaching. But you must love the brethren and feed such that you're going to a Bacenta meeting where somebody else is teaching. Sometimes you don't feel like going. I'm going so that I'll encourage the one who's preaching. I'll encourage the Bacenta leader. It's a love for Jesus. Feed my flocks. Sometimes you go, somebody's teaching, but you bring food. Because you really want people to be established for God. It's your love for Jesus that's making you do that. This preaching, it is my love for Jesus that's making me feed you. Yeah. And I can assure you, anybody, if you keep loving God intensely enough, it's just a matter of time. You will feel like becoming a Bacenta leader, becoming a soul winner, becoming a shepherd, becoming a pastor. Some of you are called because of your love for God. There is no way that you feed on the word of God at a point and mature, you wouldn't want to feed others. There's no way if you love God enough. It's not possible. I'll say, it's not possible. Therefore, I want to give opportunity to people to start home cell, to start outreaches. Even next week is Easter Sunday. Your love for Jesus should make you want to bring somebody to be fed. It's a love for Jesus. Jesus told Peter, I'm leaving. I came to feed the world. But if you love me, you'll carry on what I came to do. That's how God likes love. And anybody who does that, God sees it as love. You think that it's when you sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. That's nice. But God says, my love language is feed my flocks. You see how I brought a lot of things? They are still sitting down. And I can assure you, she will not take them home. But if I brought the car, you see the cell phone I gave her, she'll take it home. The car, she'll take it home. She just asked me for some prompt things. I've ordered them. Do you know what she told me? I asked her, okay, you like this dress. I'm going to let a seamstress, local seamstress, sew it for you. She said no. She said no. And I said, why? She said, I don't know how they will do, but at least the one that is bought, I know I've seen it, and I'll prefer that. Even among clothes, it's like my preference of who should make it. But if I love her, I just... So that's what we started to do. When God tells you what he wants to be loved, believe it. Believe it and do it. Unless you are a hypocrite, you really don't love God. But if you love God, do the things that he likes. Believe me. Do the things. Today I'm going to show you something. When any love begets love, anybody you love, let me tell you, a lot of the people that you love secretly, they also love you secretly. Love is felt. Love is something you feel. And when you love the Lord, chances are that he loves you. If you really want to become God's favorite, start loving him. I'm telling you honest. Today I'm going to show you something that will surprise you. Next thing, which is very common, if you love the Lord, obey his commandments. If you love the Lord, you will obey him. That's the topic. If you love the Lord, you will obey him. If you love the Lord, you will obey him. Now, should I prove it to you? This is God's language. Love language, obedience of his word, period. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, New Living Translation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. Now, everybody who's at the back, anytime that we are preaching, ask for the book that we're preaching from. Pastor Richard, give me that book, if you love the Lord, from inside there. Give me a book. Now, 1 John 2, 5, New Living Translation, it says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know that we are living in God, in him. I'll say it again. Those who obey God's word truly, they show how completely they love God. In other words, if you want, let me tell you something. If you want, you're going to marry somebody, or you want to see, does this person love God? Don't see how they treat you. See how they treat God. If somebody loves God, they will love you. Oh, yeah. Real agape love. Bible says, beloved, let us love one another because love is of God. And anyone that loveth God, that loveth is born of God and knows God. You cannot love if you don't have that God kind of love. The best way to show you want to marry somebody, find out what does the person obey God. If the person does not obey God, you are nothing. He won't obey you. You won't obey any authority. Somebody cannot counsel that person. If God cannot counsel that person, I can assure you. Yes, it's your downfall. My greatest secret and treasure in my marriage is that my wife obeys God. In fact, it's so good that I can recklessly say what I want. I will know that she will not be worried. I mean, she will forgive me because God says so. She's that obedient. She is that obedient. And therefore, it's not even what I do right, but the fact that she wants to please God because of her love for God. Her love, anybody you want to love, find out, does the person's love for God, is it greater than his love for you? If you find that, you are safe. Some spouses, they compete for God's love. And you're going to church again, you see. And you are going to stay in church for a long time, you see. Come home right now. You are dealing with a satanic agent. Satan is called God's opposition or adversary. Yes. You, today, the person is rejecting God, so you are happy because the rejection of God so that I can, oh, let's not go to church so I can spend this Sunday with you. Huh? Oh, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Let the person love God and love God so much. In our home, our love, if we haven't read the Bible, we don't read each other. It has sustained our marriage. It says, those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. Yeah, that is how we know that they live in God. To me, I want to see somebody. I'm a Christian. The key to see that they are living in God is the obedience. Not they are coming to church. Not they are speaking in tongues. They live in God. They obey. And I'll show you why. Amen. Because obedience is a sign of trust. It means the person trusts God. Somebody tells you something, I'll do it. You trust God. You trust him. Yeah. God says this is how we show that somebody is completely in love with God, by obedience. It's a sign of trust. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He's the one. He makes me. He's able to make me do this thing. I trust him to shepherd me. Anybody who God can make you, because of God, you say, I will not be with this unbeliever. Your trust in God goes. Yeah. Yes, God says so, and I'll do it. It doesn't matter the consequence. That's your love. You are living in God. God says tithes. Although it's difficult, I'll do it. I've done it since a child. I have never been broke. I challenge you. I dare you. If you live in God and you love him, obey him. Let him. He makes me. One day I told a nurse, I told the doctor who needed, I'll make this nurse bring you. The nurse came and told me, doctor, don't say that again. Never tell me you'll make me. You will ask me. I said, I'm sorry. Sorry for left. I can't make you. I said, you have to ask me. But God should be able to make you. Make you. It's a sign of trust. Number two, it's a sign of that you are following God. You know, say, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, he makes me to lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Leads me. Means I'm following. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Anybody you obey, you are telling the person, I trust you, I can follow you. I can follow you. I will follow what you say. Obedience to God's word is massive love for God. Yeah, massive love for God. It also means that you are submitted to the person. Submission means sub your mission. When somebody obeys God, God, you say, flee youthful lust, flee fornication. Because of that, I will not sleep with anybody until I'm married. If a person can make that decision and stick with it, the person is very submitted to God. Very submitted to God. I took that decision, that golden decision. That was it. I became like Joseph. Troubles came and went, but just like Joseph, who took that decision that me, I'm not married to Potiphar's wife, I will not do it. God was with him. God was with him in every circumstance. Let me tell you, Christians, the reason why many Christians feel like God doesn't exist is because of disobedience. Here I'll prove to you that your greatest assurance of God's presence is your disobedience. Yeah. The greatest sign that somebody has the presence of God with him is God's, it's obedience. One person, Bishop Oedipo, one day he was picked up from the airport by a pastor's assistant. And as they were driving to the place of preaching, he was just in conversation. He said, oh, by the way, do you pay your tithe? And the person started making excuses. You know, I've been in some financial trouble. And he says, get me out now. Drop me right here. I'd rather take an Uber in the middle of nowhere. Drop me. I'd rather be here than sit in the car. I can die. Yes. So call your pastor to send another pastor. I will not drive with you. Says, I want people with the presence of God. Let me show you something. When you love God, if you love the Lord, so this is, if you love the Lord, you will obey him. And the points under are number one. If you love the Lord, you will keep the word of God in your heart. Write it. How to obey God. How to obey God is what I'm telling you. Number one, keep the word of God in your heart. How to obey God. 1 John 2:5, it says, but whosoever keepeth the word, in him verily is the love of God. So keep the word. What does it mean to keep the word in your heart? You know, it means to keep the word. It means to retain the word in your heart. How do you do that? How do you do that? By reading the word of God often. It's also done by meditation of the word. Like for example, when I do my quiet time today, tomorrow when I'm doing chapter 2, I make sure I read chapter 1 again before I go to chapter 2. Because I want to keep the word. I just want to read. I want to keep. The word of God is for keeps. It's your keeping that makes sure that you love God. Keep it. So you read it again. So you meditate on it. It also means for you to keep the word, you have to memorize the scriptures. You can see some of the scriptures I'm quoting. I'm not even reading. I'm quoting from my heart. Because the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I kept in my heart, hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you, so that I'll obey you. Hide the word in your heart. Some of us, the word is hidden on your iPad, but not in your heart. How can you keep? That's not keeping the word. When you want to keep the word, one sure sign is that you write notes when the word is coming. People who want to do the word of God, they come to church with notebooks. And they write. If you are with your boss and you don't intend to do what he says, but when you intend to, whatever he says, you write it down. It's a sign to him that I'm going to carry out this. Don't take for granted the fact that you sit in church and don't write notes. Is the beginning of your love for God. I can assure you. Don't be angry with me because I said that. Today you may not be writing, but I can assure you, those who really want the word and to use it for obedience, for the presence of God, they write it down. They write it down because it's important to them. Because they are not just being there going through the motions. They are here to hear the word and to do them. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Yeah, you'll be deceived. The devil wants to steal it from your heart already. The day that Adam and Eve, they gave up the word, the presence of God went away. I'm going to bring to you why the presence is. So you have to keep the word. Anybody who intends to obey the word, the first sign is you keep the word. You want to remember the word. Anything you don't want to keep or do, you don't care. Going through the motions, believe me, the presence of God is with those who do his word. I'll prove it to you. You'll be shocked. The presence of God, a supernatural life, is lived with those who keep the word of God. Now, watch this. You'll keep the word. Meditate on it. Read it. Listen to it a lot. Listen to messages. Let it keep playing. Let it keep going on. The next way, if you want to obey the word, this is how to treat the word of God. Number two. Number one is keep the word in your heart. Number two, you will keep his commandments. In fact, you will. Let me put it this way. You will not feel his commandments are a problem. Yeah. You know, my son told me one day. He said, "Daddy, thank you for all the advice you've given me, but I want to make a confession." I said, "Yes, go ahead." He says, "Let me tell you, when I was in my teens, whenever you are talking to me, I'm listening with one ear and I'm actively pulling it out from the other ear." Yes. He told me. And he said, "My life didn't do well until I started listening to you." Because he felt that my instructions were a problem. One lady told the mother, "Do you want to destroy my life? Let me feel free. Stop telling me what to do. Some of us have that attitude. God, stop telling us what to do. And I said, "For real? Is that how you are behaving?" He said, "Yes." He said, "That's how my life became the life that it was. But look at the difference. I've been listening to you for the last 3 years. And I've seen the difference. I wish I had started early." It's because he felt that my instructions were a problem. Let me tell you something. I'm reading something to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God." This is the definition of the love of God. "That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Some of us feel that the commandments of God are outdated. They are too difficult. They are too funny. Let me tell you, you think it's difficult to disobey God, try disobedience. You think it's difficult to obey, try disobedience. Everybody that has walked in disobedience, their life is a certain way. It's more difficult than those who walk in obedience. You watch it. Start walking in obedience. Your life becomes easier. Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden rather is light." Obedience is easier than disobedience. Yeah. He said, "My commandments are not grievous." Anytime that is a bother for you, the word of God is a bother for you. Why are they preaching about this again? Why are they? It's a bother. You will not keep that commandment. This is how to keep it. This is how to obey. Number one, keep it in your heart. Number two, tell yourself, "It's not a problem. I'll do it. If it's coming from God, it's not a problem. I'll do it. It's not a problem. It's not a problem." Who said it? God, it's not a problem. If Eve had said that to Satan, we would have had a better life. It was a problem for her. Why is it that we cannot eat? He's giving you everything. He said, "Just this one." The things that the Lord does not want us to do, they are very few. Most of the things you want to do, God wants you to do them. The problem we have is the few things God does not want us to do. That's a problem with Christians. They are very few, but they are entrenched. Let his commandments not be grievous. For example, do your quiet time. I do it and it's changed my life. Love your wife. It has made me more peaceful. Give. Give to the poor. Such a beauty. Now, let me go straight to this. If you love the Lord, if you want to obey God, this is what you need to do. Keep believe and know that obedience brings his presence. Or obedience is your main guarantee of God's presence. Your main guarantee. It's your main guarantee that God is with you. Nothing else but obedience guarantees you the presence of God. Why? Because if you, I send you the message and you walk to do the message, you have no trouble. My authority is with you. I sent you. I will support you. The Americans who go for combat anywhere, American government is behind us. Big time. Yeah. Anybody who sends you and you do it, their presence with you. You are representing the person. The person is going with you in power. The people I send, I give them flight tickets. I give them whatever the message is, the food, everything. You know, my work, I go places to go and do the procedures. They have sent me. They give me a rental car. They give me a flight. They give me a hotel, accommodation. They give me gas. Yeah. And they give me salary. And all of them are because I am walking in obedience to them. Are with me? And any problem, they say I should call them first. The last time I was coming from LA and it was late. When I called, I read they had not opened car renter. I called, we will fix another renter for you. Watch this. John chapter 14 and verse 21-23 in the Amplified Version. It says, he who has my commandments, Amplified C. Amplified C. Okay? You have it? Good. Watch this. The person who has my commandments and keeps them, that obeys them, is the one who really loves me. You see, God is always saying, he loves me if you keep my commandments. He'll love. The difference, I'm telling you, you yourself, you know. Your obedience is what shows that you've started loving God. He, the person who has my commands and keeps them, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me by showing to obey my command, whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him. I've never seen a supernatural. Yesterday, my son was telling me, Daddy, do you know that your life is scripted from heaven? I said, what do you mean? He said, ever since I've known you, you've always wanted to do whatever God says. And I've seen that God also wants to let you have whatever you say. It was such a testimony just yesterday, last night. And then my wife and I started telling, you know, I didn't, even my mistakes. When the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. That's what it means. He's with you. He said, you love me, you keep my command. My Father will really love you and I will love you too. And I will show and reveal and manifest myself to him. Everybody, let me tell you, the greatest guarantee that God is real in your life, he will really manifest himself. Many people who say God is not real, the next thing you should ask, are you obedient to God? When you start obeying him, he will be real. I can assure you, I give you 6 weeks. God is so real, it's even not funny. Not funny. Yeah. Not funny. You know, my job, I did a contract for them. They said another doctor was not coming. And they asked me, can I do the doctor's job? I said, cool. But if I do the doctor's job, you pay me the doctor's pay and my pay for that day. And they agreed. They agreed. So I did it. When they came, they changed the contract. Oh, yeah, we said it, but you have to have worked 14 hours before we start kicking. Now, who does that? Who does that? 14 hours. Am I a donkey? I said, no problem. And I told myself, God will let them. When the thing came, they all kinds of that they made. Rather, the mistakes have given woman. No. Okay, then we're going to reorganize. Okay, they're leaving. Then look at them. They thought they were being. God will tell them for your good. Clap for the Lord Jesus. All through obedience. Your obedience is costing you far more. Your disobedience is costing you. Your life as it stands now is a reflection of both obedience and disobedience, the balance. That disobedience is costing you far more evil than you think. The discomfort of obedience is nothing compared to the glories that will come. He said, when they obey me, I will love them. And I will really reveal myself to them. I will manifest, show that I'm real, real to them. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to that person. Then, verse 22, Judas Iscariot, not the Iscariot, asked him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself and make yourself to real to us and not to the world? The world doesn't believe. Don't join the world in unbelief. Don't join the world. Don't be in the church and live in disobedience. God will not be real to you. You will be living the world in the church. Your prayers will be as if God doesn't exist. Your life will be as if there is no supernatural aspect to you. Let me tell you, when even your parents, you start obeying them, they start loving you more. They'll be there for you, even your parents. Even your boss. When you start obeying and doing everything they say, that's when you see promotion is real. Some of us will never see promotion until we start obeying the boss that's over us. Then you'll see that he has power. You will never see your boss's power in a good way until you walk in utter obedience. Everything my boss says. Everything. Some of my bosses are nurses. I'm a doctor. When they say I do it. Hey. I come to work late. They mark it as I came early. Hey. I can feel their power. They are there to help. Any issue, you do this before this person does that. That's how God is. That is how God is. And he asks, how is it possible? Show us. Then verse 23, watch this. This is how it happens. John 14, 23. From today, walk in obedience in every way. And that is your love for God. Jesus answered, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teachings. And my Father will love him. And I will come to him and we will make our home, our abode, our special dwelling with him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not lying, but I'm going to prove to you in the Bible and in my life and in your life that obedience brings a blessing. Obedience. Number one, Joseph. Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. The Bible says from verse 1, read this. Did they walk in obedience? Joseph was somebody, he walked in obedience everywhere. Everywhere he went, he walked in obedience. With his father, he walked in obedience. His father loved him, gave him clothes of many colors. With his brothers, he walked in obedience to the authority, Reuben. When they wanted to kill, Reuben said, don't kill. Let's kill an animal and use the blood to show our father is dead. Put him in a pit. That saved him. In the pit, he was being sold to Ishmaelites. Ishmaelites went and sold him to Egyptians. They didn't know they were going to make him king. When he went to Potiphar's house, he said, I'm going to be obedient to Potiphar. be obedient to higher authority, first God and any higher authority, including your parent, you will live a peaceable life. He got obedient to Potiphar to the point where the wife was saying, sleep with me, sleep with me. He said, no, no, no. I know better. I'm supposed to walk in obedience to my bosses. And he said something. Look at that. Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt, down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of Egypt, brought him to Ishmaelites. Brought him from Ishmaelites. Now verse 10. When Potiphar's wife started making advances, Joseph said, so it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not heed her or lie with her. The verse 9 says, there is no greater. When Potiphar's wife said, sleep with me, there is no greater person in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph said, I will never disobey God. So because of that, I went to prison. But in the prison, God's presence was with me. Obedience. God will make you know that he's real. When you are obedient to God, you don't have to worry about which job you lose. I've lost jobs. My wife will look in my face and tell me, the God that you serve, he will give you another job. The God that you've been obeying is real. If you make him real, let me tell you, how real God is depends on how real he is to you. You make him. I'll say it again. Your awareness of God that makes you obey him is a measure of the true presence of God with you. I'll say it again. The reason why people obey God, even when nobody is there, is because although nobody is there, they see God's presence. I don't have to be supervised to obey God. When God sees that, he makes himself clear. This is your faith. Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists. And when you do, he will be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's how God gets present. Sin throws away God from your presence. Disobedience. God never comes close. You want to be disobedient like Adam and Eve? Okay, I'll walk away. Obedience, he will draw close to you. I tell you, any act of obedience draws God closer to you. So Joseph did the obedience. Nobody was there. They even lied against him. No problem. You are lying against me. God knows the truth. God knows the truth. He will vindicate me. And truly, he went into the prison, and even there he was promoted. God's presence was in the prison. And in the prison, he was obedient. I have decided to be obedient. Whether it is in front of the pulpit or it's behind the toilet. Yes, because God is omnipresent. And in the degree to which I decide to see his presence, I'm conscious of his presence, that it affects my actions. That is truly a measure of how present God is with somebody. I tell you, he makes his home with people who are conscious of his presence. That your consciousness of his presence that makes you obey is not a fake, it's not a facade, it's not a mirage, it's for real. Yeah. And that feeling that when you sin, you feel God has gone away, is real. He was with him everywhere. Let me tell you, Daniel, in the lion's den, he said, I'll obey God no matter what. Bible says they put him in the lion's den. He could not be bitten by one lion because of obedience. Spencer, say amen. Because of obedience. Presence of God. But the most exciting part was the Hebrew boys in Daniel chapter 3. They said, bow down and worship Baal. And they looked into the king's face and said, let it be known unto you that we cannot bow before any other God. If for that reason you put us in the furnace of fire, no problem. But our God whom we serve is able to save us. And they said, even if he doesn't save us, we'll not bow. Is it here? Bring it. He said, is this the case that our God Yeah. Now, and they put them in the den, the lions in the furnace. Yes, there was somebody else who came. Now, look at that. Somebody else, I think, somebody, they looked and said, what? Did we not put three people? But there's a fourth person. There's a fourth person. There is a fourth person in the furnace. And he's like the Son of God. Watch this. He says, look. He answered, I see four men who are let loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the four, bring the verse 24 first. The king Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then they answered and said, yes, true. We, O king, three people. Then verse 25, it says, but look, look carefully. I see four people. I see four men loose. Your obedience, this is what makes it happen. For those who have eyes, they see that you are not alone. God is with you. As you are operating on obedience, as you are walking away from sin, all because you feel God is present. I told myself, I will never be rude to my parents because God is watching me. I told myself, I will never sleep with anybody before I marry because God is watching me. When I got born again, I never slept with anybody. The blood is under for the other one. I've told God, no matter what, you see what I pay, I'll give you tithe. I will not steal any. It's difficult. His presence is guaranteed. He said, I see four people. I see four men loose. They bound them, but they are loose. Walking in the midst of the fire. And they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth one is like the Son of God. The Son of God is with you. Tell someone, the Son of God is with me. The Son of God is with me. Every act of obedience gives you the presence of God in a strong way. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God to walk in obedience. What does disobedience give you? What pleasure? Look at the way you are treating your spouse. Look at the way you are treating your mother. Look at the lies that you are concocting just to have your way. Look at the deception. Why? Is it worth it? Is it worth driving away the presence of God, who's your helper and everything, unless you don't believe? And I don't blame you, because if you have not experienced the presence of God that comes through obedience, you will not believe what I'm saying, because you have not seen such a thing before, but it will happen to you as you make a decision that you will walk in obedience. If you love the Lord, walk in obedience. Jesus Christ said this in John 8:29. He said, he that sent me is with me. The Father has never left me alone. Why? Because I do always the things that please him. I remain my mother's favorite so long as I walked in obedience. My father once said that I've hit him. I went and knelt down. I said, Daddy, I know the importance of who you are. My uncle told me that. One day, listen to what I'm saying. My uncle told me that I hit you. You know, my father was spanking me, and I, you know how you struggle, and I ran away. Not knowing my heart, I went and knelt down and begged. I said, if it's true that I hit my father, God will really deal with me. I don't want anything to take blemish my relationship with God and to draw the anointing and the presence. It's my everything. God's presence is everything to you. No man can replace God's presence. No woman, no boss, no job, no amount of money can give you what God can give you. Yeah. Joseph may have lost Potiphar's wife, but he got a better wife. You know, Joseph married somebody who was actually like almost like a sister or daughter to Potiphar. A nicer version, a younger, more voluptuous version. What he gave up, God gave better. Yeah, Job was the same. He said, my righteousness I will hold fast. I will never let go. At the end, God will stand with me. God gave him 2 times what he lost for being just obedient. Obedience will cost you something, but the gains are far more. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The gains are far more. Let the presence of God come back to Christians. Let there be Christians who walk and can confidently say that if you touch me, God will do something to you. Yeah. Let me tell you, don't tell anybody I told you this. Yeah. It was a certain girl. When I finished high school, I taught in my high school. I was an unbeliever. And when I taught there, I fell in love with the girl. The girl was a Christian. One day I pulled the girl close. She liked me. But she didn't want to do anything funny. I felt she was in love. I came from a nightclub, so all I know is that love means sex. So one day I said, come, walk with me to under a tree. And I pulled her behind the big tree. And I tried to pull her towards me. And I tried to plant my lips upon her lips. I can't demonstrate because my wife is not here. Because if I do right now, they will say, pastor kisses, French kiss in a church. You know, I did. When I did that to the lady, she pushed me off. And she told me, the God that I serve will not forgive you this thing. Yeah. And she told me, you know, I could curse you. But I'm going to tell you, you will become a pastor to prevent people from doing what you are doing to me. Yeah. That's what he told me. I will never forget. I had no mind of even becoming a Christian. But she knew as a student that the presence of God is with her, and that that act of obedience, God will vindicate her. You must be that confident. Christian brother, Christian sister, you must be confident. How much would you gain from disobedience? I can assure you have a long life. God's presence has everything. 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 Bible says in the last day, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord. But I'll tell them, I never knew you. And he said, oh, but did we not cast out demons? Did we not do many wonderful works? Did we not? Prophesy in your name. You know what he said? He said, in verse 22, I believe, he says, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. He said, when they said, Lord, Lord, is the people that I will say I know is those who do the will of the Father. Bring that one. Matthew chapter 7. He said, they will say, Lord, Lord, verse 21. Lord, Lord, in the last day, many will say, Lord, Lord. In fact, verse 21 says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will. No, but you are correct. Those who do the will of my Father. Even heaven, it will be obedience. He can never tell you, I don't know you. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3 says, if any man love the Lord, the same is known of the Lord. Love is expressed in obedience. From today, the presence of God is going to be with you. Strong. You watch it. Everyone that will decide, I'm walking in obedience, you are also walking in the presence of God. He will walk with you. His angels, they hate sin. They run away from sin. They are attracted to righteousness. His presence, his anointing, that's what it is. His blessings. Bible says, Psalm 37, verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. We are now stuck with a church of sinners and evil people. A church of people that don't care anymore about what God wants. A church that don't read the Bible and that don't care to obey the Bible. It has left us with a church also that's dry of miracles, dry of supernatural life, dry of testimonies. The church should be full of testimonies. Can you imagine if Joseph was in this church? He's going to have a lot of testimonies. Daniel will have a lot of testimonies. Hebrew boys will come and testify. They put us in the lion's den. But guess what? Jesus was there with us. And we took selfies with Jesus. And they will show it. Miracles are real. The presence of God is real. But the Christians have refused to be real to God. Therefore, they feel God is also unreal. Start being real by walking in obedience. I don't care whether you are married or unmarried. I don't care whether you have money or don't have a job. That's not the point. Even if you are Joseph, a slave, your greatest weapon of blessing, of turnaround, is your obedience to God. That has made me different. Different from my colleagues. I'm different from my family. I'm different, and you can see it. You will be the same. The Bible says, as the priest, so the people. May God make you different. As you walk in obedience and as you embrace his presence, you become like Joseph. You become like the Hebrew boys. People may not say it, but they walk. Somebody will call you and say, I see the presence of God with you. I see the glory of God with you. It's because your level of obedience determines the reality of God's presence. Rise to your feet. Put your hands together for Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Tell the Lord, I don't care the consequences. I will obey you. I will keep your word. I will meditate. I will make decisions like a Christian should. Your presence is more important to me than anything else. Believe me, believe me, believe the word. God's presence wants to come to you. God will visit you in your home. God will visit you at your workplace. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, the Father has not left me alone. You will never be alone because I do always the things that please him. Begin your Christian life again. Please, you are supposed to live a supernatural life. You are never supposed to be alone. Adam and Eve were never supposed to be alone. You are supposed to lead a garden life. And a garden life you shall lead. Watch your life transform. That boy is not worth it. That girl is not worth it. I'm telling you. How cheap can you be? You want a boy, so you sack God. You want a girl, so you sack God. You want a job, so you sack God. You want to spend your tithe, so you sack God. Come on, how foolish can that be? What a trade. That's cheap. That's cheap. That's cheap. That's cheap. And you will know that it's cheap. When you do the right thing by God, you will sign up again and say, I've been waiting, my daughter, all along for you to do the right thing, because I'm doing the right thing. Father, bless your people. Honor your people. Honor your people. Honor your people. Somebody is shedding a tear. Somebody, you are heartbroken because God said that thing to you in your secret place, but you refused to obey. But God says, don't cry. You are the reason why I brought this word. Because I want to secure you. Like the prodigal son, I will hug you again. I will give you the ring again. God says, you can never outsend me. I am back. As you say, I'm back, he's also back. God says, I'll show myself strong on your behalf. I'll reveal myself to you. In the fire and in the water, I will walk with you. There's a Christian generation that's coming. That will have manifestations and testimonies, angelic visitations, eyes that see the glory of God, testimonies that will cause people to be saved. It's because you love God. God will next week, I'll show you the blessings of loving God. I will outline them one by one by one by one. And you'll be the first person to walk in that blessing. If you believe it, say your loudest amen. Say your loudest amen. And give a great clap offering to Jesus. Now, with all eyes closed, if you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to surrender fresh. I did that. One day I told myself, I see. Look, the Lord showed himself so strongly to me in a dream. I said, God is so real. Like Jacob. See, the Lord is in this place. I didn't even know it. He stopped every evil thing and now sought God. God is saying, somebody is here, your heart is now contrite, you are repentant. You have made a decision today that I will follow God throughout. If you are here and you are the one, I want you to lift up your hand. God says, I'm giving you supernatural power. God bless you. God bless you. There are many. You have made a decision today that I'm starting afresh. I will walk with you so that I will see how real you are. If you are that person, lift up your hand and Father, I pray, look from heaven and bless these hands. Come on, I want to lay hands on you. Come. If you are the one, walk to the front. Come, come, clap for them as they come. Come, 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 come. Come, brother, come. Clap for them as they come. Clap for them as they come. Clap, clap, keep clapping. Keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. And if as you are clapping, you are one of them, walk up to the front and join them. These are renewed lives. God is going to renew his covenant with you one by one. Watch it. Your life will turn around. The life of Joseph. They sold you as a slave, but you will come back as a prime minister. Yeah. Lift up your hand right in front here. And if you are there, join them and say this prayer. Say, Almighty Father, I've seen my foolishness. It's not worth the trade. I want to be real with you. By faith, I want to obey you. Please give me a new life. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe the reality of Jesus as my Savior, the presence of the Holy Spirit with me, that the blood has washed me clean, that God wants to make a home with me. I will see the presence of God because of obedience. Help me to obey you. Fill me with the spirit of obedience. And may your presence never escape me as you write my name in the book of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, weren't you blessed by that anointed word of God? Come join our services this and every Sunday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time in person at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive, Memphis, Tennessee. Be blessed.